The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Michael Wardian, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 393 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. In this episode, Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean and myself continue as we give a report card rating on all things Run Disney. So sit back and enjoy as we continue.
Okay, race safety. Chris, what about the race safety?
I always think that that's top on their charts. They always seem good. At every race, I always see the guys on bicycles coming by. I'm always seeing, you know, med stations and stuff like that's really good. The only downside to this whole thing is their lack of understanding how unsafe it is with these small spaces, what they make us run through when there are large crowds. That is such, I mean, I see people tripping over each other. There's people walking. There's issues of people running onto the grass, onto the curbs, tripping, all because the only areas they give us to run are these small patches. And I think that is the most unsafe thing they do, and I don't understand why they haven't been able to fix that. The safety and making sure everybody's hydrated, like they always call out, make sure you're drinking water, like, you know, they do keep that up. I just don't understand that lack of judgment in that one spot. So they would have been an A except for those little running spots. I'll give them a B.
Okay, good point. Very good point, Michael.
Well, I think that they try really hard. I got to give them an A for effort anyways, that they try to keep the runners as safe as possible. One of the problems I've had with them since day one has been the water stops. Now, before you guys joined this Run Disney family, I could tell you that they used to have banana. They used to give out bananas as well as water as early as the very first water stop behind Splash Mountain. Yeah, behind Splash Mountain, there used to be bananas and water. One of the problems I've had with them is I don't like the idea of the tables being on both sides of the course, because it bottles up a lot when you get to the running, when you get to that water stop. I would like them to either have a very long table on one side or have the tables kind of zigzag. So you would have a table on your right, and then maybe 50 yards down the road, you'd have a table on your left. Because I think that would help a lot of those runners who run with hydration belts and don't need the water. And it also gives you an idea that coming up, there is a water stop, and the water table's on the right. So you move all the way over to the left, because I don't know how many times this happened to you guys, but I'll be running up to a water stop, and I'll be just there, and all of a sudden, people are cutting in front of me. And I think that that's always a safety
issue. You don't think that would happen more if they had it only on one side?
Well, the thing is, though, that I don't know which side to go on, because you've got tables exactly apart from on each side. So people are cutting to the left, people cutting to the right. But if I knew that there were tables on the right side, then I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go all the way over to the left, because I know that everybody wants to go over to the right, and I'm not going to have people cut in front of me. So because of that, I got to give them a B+.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about the crunch area. I think Chris's point about that is great. I think that John Hughes and Track Shack does a great job with safety overall. I feel that there are a lot of water stops. I would love to see like one more gel stop, especially for the half marathon and the marathon. But not to kind of bring this back around, didn't you tell me that you saw an alligator?
I saw an alligator.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing. I wonder how that will impact race safety.
I saw it, but the alligator was when I was running. We're running towards the Animal Kingdom, and we were going over an overpass, running over an overpass on Osceola, and everyone was looking over. And I looked over, and there was at least one. There might have been another one. There was an alligator looking up at us from the water. And, I mean, it was no danger to the runners, but, you know, they can, there's no fence or anything around the waters. And
who
so,
knows? Yeah. All right, well, I say A minus for that. All right, characters. Michael?
Wow. As someone who's run the last two running events was the light side and the dark side, and I was truly disappointed in the character opportunities. I don't take photos with characters because I just don't think that's why I do the Run Disney events. But I do think that when you are charging as much as you're charging, I think you should offer as many character opportunities as possible, especially when we're doing 5Ks, where we talks about lines, and you would not have as many lines if you had more characters available. And I think that that is something that's lacking. I do recall that in both California, well, in California, when we did the dark side, no, the light side, there just seemed to be not enough. They had to close down some lines. They tried to do it differently on the light side weekend. The dark side weekend with those tents that were at, behind ESPN. But I think people want to take their photos
During the expo.
Yeah, during the expo. Mm-hmm. I think people would like to have their photos taken while they're running. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the deal. So I think that they're about a C+ with the characters.
All right. Christopher?
Yeah, the last one kind of blew me. The dark side challenge, there were two spots right up front, right in the beginning. So it was Chewbacca and R2-D2 the first couple miles. The lines are just so long. I mean, you really have to commit to just losing 25 minutes to get onto to get a picture with a character. I'm sure there were better the regular marathon. There were a lot more, you know, character spots and places to take pictures. But I don't know. It's hard for me. I'm not, like Mike said, I'm not a character. I don't really run. It would have been fun to have like a picture with R2-D2 as I was running. I was totally unaware that there were characters at the expo. I wish they had made better mention of that one. But, I don't know. The characters aren't big to me, but I don't think they are out there and as available. And I don't know what to do about the lines. So I have to almost give them like a D. I just don't think, there were lack of them. There weren't. The lines were too long. It was just, and there were only a couple in the beginning. And then there was like Kylo Ren was on the stage, and they had the 100. What is it? The 501. The stormtrooper group was towards Animal Kingdom there, and then that was it. Right now they kind of lack, especially the money we're paying. I want to see more characters out there.
So I don't usually stop at characters, but I think I would if the lines weren't so long. I just don't want to wait for 25 minutes. I don't want to cool down. But the other thing is I go to a lot of races, so I can see these characters at other times. What I feel bad about is it has become the type of thing where if you are fast, you will get all the pictures you want. If you are slower, you're out of luck. And I don't think that's fair. I really don't think that that's right. So maybe there needs to be a fast pass system. Maybe you choose three characters who you're going to see. There's a group of, you get a pink wristband if you're going to see these three characters. And, you know, maybe it's just something where we need to do like a fast pass type of thing. Because I really just don't think it's fair. I see people out there who have put everything they can into walking their first 5K, and they're shut out of this, and it just really breaks my heart. So I would say a D for characters too. I just don't think it's fair. All right, Chris, what about theming for the races?
God, you know, I'm just going on the last two, which were the marathon weekend, and then the dark side. The dark side, oh my God, I just felt there was such a lack of theming throughout. Like, they had a couple of video screens, they played music, but I wasn't really after the 10K, I just basically put on the Star Wars soundtrack because I was just not feeling it. Mm. And I was feeling like just another run.
You mean for your own playlist?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was just running because I just felt like I needed to pump myself up to remember this is Star Wars. And, you know, and I'm the nerd.
And that's your thing. Yeah.
That's my thing. I mean, you know, like, I'm the uber nerd. And then even for the marathon, I felt like there were more things that were there earlier on, like, you know, that just sort of disappear. they're little things. You know, it's the, you know what it reminds me? It's like our discussion about plussing and how we feel like Disney has gone that route where they're not in the parks in general doing the plus things. Like they're not, they're taking away the free entertainment. They're taking away the light shows. They're taking away anything that doesn't make a direct dollar for them. And I felt like this is what's happening in the races too. Like I remember those, remember that a couple of years ago it was those big giant puppets, like the people were like holding up those puppets at like mile 20 or 21.
Right.
And they're not there anymore. I feel like there's this lack of plussing to these events. So the theming sort of just kind of drifts. And especially with the Star Wars, I felt like I was, you know, not really, I mean, I don't know what they could have done differently, what they could have added to make it more Star Wars like. I would have definitely wished there were better, more theming. Right now, God, I don't want to give them a really super bad grade. I'll give them like a C-. Right now, I hope it gets better, especially for the money. I mean, the trade-off, it's like we used to spend less money and get more from it. Now we're spending more money and getting less out of these things. So, I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
One sentence. What theming? I think that since the Twilight Zone Tara Terra has gone down for whatever, and hopefully it'll come back, they pretty much dropped the ball on theming. Yeah, they can say this is the light side, Star Wars the dark side, we can do this and that, but other than the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, I think they've dropped the ball on theming. And you can't tell me that, well, we're going to have characters out there in special costumes and that's going to be the theming. No, it starts right from the get-go. It starts with the expo. There should be theming banners on the expo. There should be theming banners all over ESPN Wild World of Sports, where we spend a lot of our time getting our bibs and everything. Sure, they do a lot at the beginning of the race, but during the race and at the end, I mean, I think there should be more of it. The Princess Half Marathon Weekend used to be pretty close to a good theming, but nothing compared to 101. Nothing compared to the Twilight Zone Tara Terra 10 Miler. So they get a D from me with theming. I think it's non-existent.
I agree with both of you. I don't have anything else to add. Okay. All right. What about crowd numbers, Mike?
Crowd numbers in terms of runners?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very hard thing to do. I think I had mentioned on the show a while back when I think I was at ESPN the weekend. I had talked with Ken Potruck, who was running the sports area of Disney, and he and I talked about.
Yeah, he's in DVC.
He's DVC, and I think he's also the dealing with Disney Cruise Lines and maybe Adventures by Disney. Well, anyways, I asked him about a survey that I was asked to answer regarding whether I would run, like the idea of having two half marathons on Walt Disney World Half Marathon Weekend. And he said the reason for that was that it's a very popular race and they were thinking the numbers would be to the point where it would be really crowded. Never happened, so now we've got Goofy and Dopey or whatever. I don't know what the threshold is for safety for a race in Walt Disney World. We've seen as many as around 25,000 runners for the half and maybe for the full. I think that's the absolute limit. I don't know what you can do. I think that when we're talking about crowd numbers, we're talking about how they do with the corral releasing. And we've seen them do things like start the races earlier. For me, I would welcome that. Start the races earlier.
How much earlier can we get there?
But, you know, Michelle, we're getting up at 2 anyways, and yeah. we hang around, twiddle our thumbs till about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We're there at Epcot about 3, so why not start them earlier?
Right. You mean get us there at 3, but get us
And maybe empty the corrals every 10 minutes, you know? But don't call us over to the corral until we're within time of, you know, I don't want to go, if I'm in corral H, I don't want to be called over there when it's corral's A's time.
I agree.
You know, I think that they should spread it out and maybe it'll make for a longer race. But the whole idea is safety, running into people in the numbers. So I think that's the thing. So crowd numbers, I don't know how much power they have, but I'm going to give them a C plus for that.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago we had a discussion, and honestly, I don't think we had any effect on them, but we had a discussion about the marathon weekend, and we all agreed that the numbers were way too high, it was way too crowded, And they did announce that following year that they were lowering the numbers, right? I mean, that was like sort of they came back and said, obviously, you know, we're cutting it off at a lower number, which I think was a smart idea. They basically turned away money, but I think they did it for safety's sake. I mean, like I said, the biggest thing I had, the problems I have with these races are those tight areas of no maneuverability. And they had these large crowds, but it always feels like no matter where you – if you're not elite, you're, you know, if you're not Eddie McCoy, who's way up in the front, you know, you're in A corral and ahead of the pack. We get bogged down in a lot of people, and they've got to. There's got to be a better management in terms of release. Like, maybe not just the same release time. So, like in the Star Wars, it was a 4 minute, right? I think it was 4 minute between each corral or something short.
I don't think it's ever been as fast as that. Maybe seven.
I remember it being a lot quicker in this one. Either way, they should have like a staggered start. So the beginning, yeah, obviously the faster runners, you can get them off at a 5 minute cutoff. Maybe towards the back of the line, let's start releasing a little bit slower and maybe give them 10 minutes, you know, between corrals. Like I said, and make sure, you know, in the beginning of these races, before everybody has sort of opened up a little bit, don't do like they did with the dark side, which was to run you straight up that runway leading up to Hollywood Studios, where you can walk three people abreast, and half the time, if not most of the time, it was three people walking and you were trying to figure out how to get around them. And so, you know, the crowds are still a big factor when it comes to, like, if we were on open roads, I think, yeah, fine, these crowds are fine, we have enough room around each other. But when you're, you know, getting into those little funneled areas, you get a real big problem. So they still haven't figured this one out, and I really would think by this point they would figure it out. So I'm sort of down at the sea level. Michelle?
Yeah, so I would say a C, and one of the things that I was thinking about is definitely Cone Alley, but I didn't experience a problem during my last race, and I didn't experience the problem that has been popping up for a lot of people, which is a dead stop at when you're in going through the castle, which I think is a shame, because all the pictures that you see in Runner's World and all the ads in Run Dizzy, you are just running through the castle.
Yeah,
and,
all by yourself,
and yep. You know, it's all magical. And I think it's people are just so excited, and then just to completely stop is just so frustrating. It really is one of the key events of running these races is running through the castle.
Yeah, that could have played into our safety discussion as well.
Yeah.
Everybody stopping to turn around and take a picture is just...
Right.
But how do you, like, what do you yell at the people? Like, Disney doesn't yell at people, so...
Right. So, anyway, for that reason, I say a C as well. All right, the next category is going to be medals. Chris, as somebody who's designed a medal...
Ooh, wow, that's right. I forgot about that one. I've been really enjoying the medals so far. The Dark Side Challenge, the medals were wonderful. I loved the challenge medal that was sort of like the Disney World 20th marathon medal that, you know, it spun around. I think they finally realized that most of the reason that people go to these is to get the bling. Mm-hmm. And so they really do a nice job designing these medals, and I'm going to give them an A on the medals.
All right, Michael?
Well, I think the medals are the carrot that brings everybody back. I think that when Disney saw there was a possible drop-off in the interest, they started doing things like have an inaugural race, or a challenge, add a challenge, and we'll give you a chance to earn another medal. I know that has a lot to do with me. I don't know why, because I just put them in bags and put them in a dryer. I don't hang them up like you do, Michelle. I don't know if you do, Chris, but I think that the medals, it tells me, okay, I really worked hard for this particular event, and this is the dividend. This is my spoils for my efforts. So I think it's A. I think that they spend a lot of time designing them. I think that they're very colorful. I think that it's really nice bling. I don't know of anybody else who does as good a job as them. And I think for the most part, we're paying for medals more than anything else when we register. So I think they do an A. job for the medals.
I agree 100%. Medals is not my favorite thing, though. So, but I do like them, and I'm very proud to wear them. You know, there are some that definitely stand out as being over and above. You know, the 20th anniversary marathon, which is my first marathon. The coast to coast are amazing, and some of the 10K ones I really like very much too. So, yeah, medals I would say an A. All right.
Can I throw a bomb into the room right now?
Sure. Boom.
Do we weigh in any factor? And I know I'm like stepping right into it about giving the medals to people who don't finish the race. Does that factor into anything? I know I started a whole new wave with that one, but
I think we're talking about the quality of the medals, not the handing out of the medals. But I think that's a topic for another show, Chris. I agree.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So going along with that, shirts, Mike.
Shirts. What's interesting about the shirts is that I've seen over the last 11-12 years, shirts have gotten better, and now they're kind of, I don't know if they've dropped a little bit. One of the things I like about the long sleeve shirts in the past is the images of the parks, the icons of the parks on the sleeve. I like that. The shirts are a way of them justifying the sponsorship cost because the sponsors are all on the back. They've been pretty good with the choice of the choice of colors for the shirts. I think that for the dark side and for the light side races, I think that the designs were pretty good. Overall, I think that they're basically holding their own. I'm going to give them a B. They could be better in some regards, but I think that overall the shirts are pretty good. B.
Chris?
I felt the Star Wars dark side shirts were really great. I love the design. They were intricate. It's something I'd be proud to wear. And I think I even told you in terms of the marathon weekend, I was not a big fan of the designs of the shirts. I felt they were kind of, if you compare them to older designs, there was less space used for the design. So, you know, which saves money. I know I'm rare in this one. I was in when they were doing those, you know, those mesh long sleeve shirts they used to give out.
Right.
As opposed to the very silky ones now. I preferred those old ones. I felt like they were meatier. I felt like they were really substantive. Substantive? Whatever
substantive.
The word is.
Substantive.
Yeah. So I really did like those. My wife prefers the new ones. So, you know, it's to each their own. But the design I felt was lacking in that one, but the dark side was phenomenal. I love them, so they worked their way back for me and it became a B+.
All right, so I'm with Audra. I really like the newer shirts. I one of the things they did in years past is they only had a unisex shirt, and in the past few years, since they brought back that newer that they brought into the that new material, they have a male and a female, and I feel like it fits me a lot better. I still wear all of them. You know, I have many, many shirts as you guys do, but I just like the newer ones. I do miss Mike. We were noticing, I think it was a month ago or something, we were talking about the shirts, and the parks that you run used to be on the side of the shirts, and I really like that. It was a silly thing, but I really like that very much. The colors are sometimes a little wacky.
Wacky.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, just like really odd color grays or odd color greens. But I think the shirts are for me an A-, other than the parks on the side. Okay, what about, we have a few more here. Deferments and changes. Chris, with the ease of deferring a race or making a change to a race?
We've only had one experience where we had a defer. But that was 2 years ago, so I can't really give them a report card on this year. But I will say that it's a weird way that it happened. So my wife had broken her ankle a couple weeks before. We tried to defer to the following year. And it's an interesting thing. What they do is they say, okay, we're going to keep your money. You book it for the next year. And once you do that, we'll sort of reimburse you. So it was sort of like, wait, I paid for this, and now I got to, like, you know. So it's a convoluted. Instead of saying, we're not going to take your money right now, you know, I guess they want to hold on to your money, make sure you're sticking with it. But it was a little tough. We had a little hard time going back and forth and figuring out they had gotten the wrong person, and they didn't give us the confirmation, and we were having real issues for a little while, but it eventually worked out and she got it. So for 2 years ago, I gave them a B.
Okay. Mike?
I'm going to give them an F on this.
Ooh.
Because it's a total failure. I think it's part of the problem with with actor.com. I've heard it from so many people. We've done it ourselves, Michelle. I don't see any. I don't see why they can't have two databases, present year and the following year, and just move the information to the database. So, for instance, if Chris was going to do the Avengers this year, and something happened and he could not, and he wanted to move it to the next year, that'd be fine. So they just take all your information and they move it from the 2016 database to the 2017 database. They've got some crazy accounting scenario set up that forces us to buy the following year, and then a month later we get a refund back, and that's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. I've always said that. I mean, I've heard so many people complain about it. I have a friend in work who's trying to figure out whether to do the Avengers or what's the other one? The new Wine and Dine. And I know that he's thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay more money in order to get a refund. And even then, it's just crazy. I think that there should be a cleaner way of doing it. And there should be something on the Run Disney site on deferments and the step-by-step process. It should be something you can do online painlessly and not have to give them money. It just kind of says money, you know, with Disney. It's just a bad way of doing business, and I think it should be done cleaner. So I give them an F.
Whoa.
Oof.
All right. So I actually just went through this, and I changed races for January, and I'm not going to say what I changed to, but I did make a change. And I wrote a note and said, I've decided to do this instead. And what I had to do, Chris, is exactly what you said. I had to buy the new race, and then I had to, and then they gave me a refund. They gave me the refund the exact same day that I did it. Mm. However, they took out $45 for me to make the change, which I thought was just ridiculous.
What do they call it? A paperwork fee?
Fee. I thought that really left a bad taste in my mouth. It was my fault. I wanted to make the change. I mean, it was my choice. I wanted to make the change. I could have just stayed the way it was. Mm. But, you know, I don't know if it's because I give a lot of money to Run Disney or what, why I just felt so badly about it. I would say a C. I wouldn't say an F for me, but I just thought, nah, really not fair. $45, come on, really?
Yeah.
All right. I have two more. So the next one is post-race snacks. Mike?
Again, when you've done this for so many years, you see hills and valleys. I think I'd have to give them a C on this, which is fair, okay? What I would like to see is for them to have a tiered kind of process. So when you register, you can be either a gold, green,
really?
Or a red post-snack, and so you pay extra money to go through a certain chute. So, for instance, if you did not pay any extra, you would just get what you get. You get the box, and you get the water, and you get the Powerade, and you get the banana. But if you paid another amount, like an extra $5, you can go through a chute, and guess what? You get chocolate milk, or you can get yogurt.
Yeah, but you know? Mike, don't you think that they would charge a ton of money? I mean,
true.
Yeah, $5 ain't going to cut it with Disney.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? $5, you're barely.
Well, you never know. You never know. But oh, I mean, I wow. think that having, I mean, it's gone downhill. I know that I've been in other races. Michelle, you and I ran in a race, a half marathon, the New Hampshire Marathon, half marathon in October. My God, at the end of the race, there was yogurt. There was soda. There was, I don't know if there was beer. Pizza. There was donuts, there was bananas, there was all kinds of stuff, and we paid what, $60 to run that half marathon. So I think that you know, it's fair. They give basically what you want. You know, his water, and I think the water should be cold. I think the Powerade should be cold.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just.
So what would you give them?
I'm giving them a C.
All right.
I'm getting. I know, Chris. I'm a little tough on that.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's funny if they're going to give you water at the end. Like, can you make sure it's a little cold?
you have to pay for the little cold. $10, I know, and little it bit. Will be ice cold.
Yeah. I'm not big on my wife for some reason loves, I don't know if it's the chips with the nacho, the cheese sauce or something like that. I don't know if she eats.
I do too. Audra and I are the same person.
I know. You too.
Yeah. I never eat that crap, but it tastes so good after a race.
Yeah. I grab a banana, a bottle of water. I'm done. I'm not really big on that. I give her my box as well as her box.
She's so little too.
Yeah. She eats it over the rest of the weekend. It's not like she has it like right there. But yeah, you know, it's funny. It is. I wonder if it also has to do with the numbers too, Mike. You know, you do a smaller half marathon in New Hampshire, and you're getting what, a few hundred people. This is now you're dealing with 20,000 people. How can you provide pizza for everybody? I mean, that's going to be really hard. And I think the upgrade
pizza for all, says Mike Scopa.
I will say to you though, Mike, there is an upcharge. If you get the race retreat at, say, the marathon weekend, you get to go back to that retreat and they serve hot food and beverages and your milks and your sodas and all that other stuff. So if you choose to do that, you could do that. I went back and had eggs and, you know.
Yeah, bacon, me too. Whatever. I've done that too.
Oh, let's not get to race retreats because that would be another can of worms.
That's a whole different. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's gone downhill. Well, anyways, keep going.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, so there is that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's very basic. It's, you know, it's not the greatest food in the world. So I'm sort of in the C-minus range. Like, I would like to see some variety in what they give out and maybe something, you know, a little bit more. I don't know. I think Tara would be helpful in choosing some of the snacks that you would get in a box, right? You know, I feel like whatever you get, like I don't need two Oreo cookies, you know, after I've run a marathon. So
right.
I don't know.
I do. No. But but you know, I think you said exactly what I was going to say. We have Tara, who is a licensed nutritionist. We have Carissa, who is also a licensed nutritionist. Have these people consults, and aside from a banana and water and Powerade, what could be put in those boxes? I know that they'd be thrilled to be asked that. I do like the Oreo cookie that we got last time. I like the toffee sort of candy, and I do like, I never eat this crap at home, but the nachos and the yucky cheese, I eat it after a race. But other than that, I don't know. It's just, ugh, I don't know.
I definitely like the chocolate milk idea. They really should have that there.
Yeah, that would make sense, especially after those long races. All right, I have one more category.
Wait, what was your grade?
My grade is a B minus. That's what I would give that. All right, the last category is volunteers. So, Chris, I thought we would end on a positive.
I had such a wonderful experience during during the marathon weekend?
Yes,
is that what it was?
Yes, yep. Yes.
I had a wonderful person volunteering to give me my medal. So,
give me my medal.
Give it to me. Yeah. You even hugged me when I was sweaty. So that it shows you how much these volunteers care. God, I love these volunteers, and you don't get to say thank you enough to these people. They don't get paid, really. I mean, you guys get a jacket or whatever, but the amount of work that you put in is beyond what you get in return. Just these people lining up with water for hours on end. From what I've heard, it's so much harder to actually be a volunteer than to actually run the race.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And these people do it for no other reason except to cheer on runners. They get nothing out of it except the love and appreciation from the runners. And if I could give them higher than an A+, I would do it.
Michael?
We've seen it from both sides, Michelle. And I used to thank the volunteers before I had the opportunity to volunteer. And I thank them even more so now every time I go past the water stopper. I see someone out there. I just thank you, thank you, thank you. Chris, I need to explain that when you do volunteer, you do get a jacket or a shirt or both, and you also get one day's pass into the parks. So
yeah, but your work is much more.
Oh yeah,
worth
we work
no,
more
yeah.
Than
that.
Hours,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's nothing. I'm saying it's worth way more than what you receive.
Yeah. I mean, I think we work 9 hours for the 5K or whatever, and so I think Disney has figured it out. I think that the magic name Disney has a lot to do with it, but they do treat them well, and they work very hard. So I think as much as I have given some low grades on this show, I'm going to give Disney an A+ for how they have figured out how to use volunteers to make the running experience as best as possible for the runners.
I would give them even higher if we could, and give them more than a day pass. Yeah, they're, as you say, having done it from both sides, I think it's a lot of work, and It's also a lot of fun too. It's a lot of fun, a lot of camaraderie, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Yes. It is. I've run Dopey. I thought doing the medals for Goofy and Dopey was harder than running Dopey.
It's an amazing experience, and the emotions.
Yes.
Just a 5K. It was just. You can't describe the feeling. You can't describe the feeling of putting a Dopey or a Goofy medal on someone's neck and they're crying.
And hearing their story, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I think we are done. I think we're done with this episode.
On these two episodes, really.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to do two episodes for this this topic. And
I love this, though. This was great.
Yeah, I think that from time to time we need to take stock in what Disney is doing, Run Disney, and give them grades. So maybe this might be a once-a-year thing, or maybe once every, 10 or 15 years we'll do it. And we'll see how they're doing, because I think that as we go along, there will be new races, there will be new ways of doing things, and hopefully those areas where we didn't feel they did as good a job as we think they could, they will be improving. And those areas which they are doing well, let's hope they keep it up. Mm-hmm.
So for Chris Heliopoulos, for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.